What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast covering your favorite team in the Bay Area. GD is back, sunburnt as hell from Legoland, full of Lego and sprinkle waffles, and he's ready to talk Sharks. Talk Sharks hockey. We've got some news to cover today that we didn't get to because JD was in the aforementioned land of Lego. So we'll talk Barabanov, we'll talk Megna, we'll talk the draft. And then we'll get you out of here on a nice little Friday afternoon or morning, whenever you're listening to this. Hopefully your boss says when you get into work, take the day off. That would be a nice little treat. But yeah, hockey. Sharks.
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
What I was going to say is sharks, they're big fish. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me as always is co-host JD, the time-traveling toaster to my elevator full of blood.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah. People are enjoying the Simpsons reference, the hardcore Simpsons references.
Apparently. Right, I don't know. We've really been going hard on the Simpsons recently. It's my favorite show. So just watch that. Trios of Horror is the best one. You got the Shinning. You've got the time-traveling toaster. And you've got, is it Nightmare Cafeteria at the end of that one?
Yeah. I'm not very good at this.
it's Willie. Poor Willie. Homer, I can get you back, but you got to come with me. Maggie just absolutely dominates him in the back. Really good sight gag in that one. When Homer goes back to the dinosaur land, he's all upset. He like stomping on flowers. And then a mosquito comes by and he left hooks the mosquito so perfect. It's the deck. It's quite good. That episode's full of good lines. You can use your shinning on me, but not between 4 and 5. That's Willie's time. Yeah.
Don't you mean shiny? Shh, you don't get sued.
The blood usually gets off on the third floor. And there's that weird John Denver joke as well. It's quite good. I also like when Homer is—he gets knocked out by himself, and Marge puts him in the fridge. Yeah. And then he's just eating food, and Mo the ghost comes up. He's like, "Hey, Homer, me and the ghouls have been talking. We think you should murder your family. Can't murder eating." He just gets dragged out. Oh, what a clutch up! Which one of those three? Put those in what order? Those three for the people.
Probably the shiny one, the toaster one. And then
cafeteria, the Nightmare Cafeteria. But the Nightmare Cafeteria is so funny.
Yeah.
Sloppy Jimbo.
But I don't know. There's so many like perfect lines, especially the shiny one where there's so many great lines, you know, like.
Yeah, but the Nightmare Cafeteria too.
She checks the typewriter, just all feeling fine.
Yeah, and then the lighting goes and it's all over the walls. But like Nightmare for Cafeteria is so many good too, where he's I got to go check on the free range children. Just a perfect line. You might say we killed Uter and cooked him up and now Uter is inside of all of us. Scratch that last one. It's underrated compared to the other. I guess it's underrated because it gets overshadowed by the other two.
Yeah. But,
it's definitely the best treehouse by far. It's just absolute stellar work. Speaking of stellar work, do you want to talk draft or do you want to talk contracts?
Let's do contracts first so we can riff about the draft at the end. So
yeah. Barabanov signed for a 2-year by $2.5 per
that
million.
That is stellar work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't be upset. I mean, you didn't want to, the risk was all along that you're signing a, was he 27, 28,
29? 28.
Something
like
that. Upper 20s. He's an older fellow compared to the rest of the league. An older chap.
Hey, an old man's talking.
How do you think you say dickety too in Russian? Anyway, so you didn't want to sign him to like a 5-year deal or something of that nature, where if this is as good as he gets, especially because he's 27, 28, he's probably not going to get better. He might get a little bit of tick, but you don't want to end up having him locked in a la Radim Šimek, for instance, where you're just never getting anything better and you're just paying for declining value. So you didn't want to do that. And then you didn't want to overpay him just in case you need still maneuverability. So a 2x2.5 really is probably the ideal outcome considering he was never going to get paid like $1 million or something stupid like that. He was always going to get some kind of money, but 2x2.5.
Yeah. Especially because the original was like the Robbie Fabry deal, which is, you know, what is that?
Basically like a 4x4 or something like that.
It's like 4 years, $3 million. And, you know, he proved that he can be a top line or top six guy last year. He had 39 points, you know, in playing last year, really kind of helped that the Meyer hurdle line kind of do a little dirty work on there. We saw his good passing and stuff like that. And yeah, he can hold down the fort. And then when you have your guys like your Eklunds, your Bortolos, Robbins, whoever ready to kind of pop, it's not like you've signed on to him long-term. And then even after 2 years, if he's still playing well, you can, you know, see where you're at in 2 years if you want to give him another deal or if you want to trade him when you come to the trade deadline. I know he has like a 10-team no trade list or something like that. But
oh, he does?
Yeah, he has like a
Why, San Jose? What are we doing?
It's like 10-team. It's not that bad.
Why though? Why do you have to set that precedent? That everybody gets a no trade clause. What has he done to deserve that? It's so anyway.
But yeah, it's fine. Whatever. If going into next year, the 2023-2024 season, if the Sharks are bad again, you know, I'm sure he'd be willing to waive his trade clause to go play the contender or something like that. But that's for future JD and future Kyle to worry about. But no, I really like this deal. And I think, you know, it's, you have him locked up for 2 years. He can, you know, solidify your top six. And then you just see where you're at 2 years from now. And if you want to trade him, or if you don't want to resign him, or if you want to resign him, you can kind of go from there. So yeah, I think I was shocked actually when I saw the terms of a 2x2.5. So
yeah, like you said, you made a good point that if San Jose, they're going to be bad next year. I don't know what everybody's deluding themselves into thinking they're not, but they're going to be bad next year. So 2.5 for a guy where you're going to get a playoff run and another season. If you're a Colorado, a Florida, a Rangers, a Toronto, something like that, you can it's much easier to fit in whatever the prorated version of 2.5 is at the end of the year. So you're trying to just fit in a couple $100,000, and then it's easy to maneuver 2.5 next year or trade him again or move out another contract and keep him. So it becomes very valuable, not only just to the San Jose and trying to help them win games, but that contract is highly, highly movable, which is something you got to think about when you're bad and the players are getting close to 30. And if he doesn't improve, like, we don't think he's going to improve from his 39 points to like 70 points.
No, but if he's like maybe a 40, 45, 50, tops out of 50, maybe on a, that's better than the $5 million you're paying Kevin LeBanc to do the same thing. And he's nowhere close to that right now. So,
yeah. What do you think? How many Built Bars do you think he can buy for $2.5 million?
Oh, all of the Built Bars.
Do you think he would be interested in Built Bar's new offering of a birthday cake puff?
Well, his birthday is next month, so this is perfect timing. He'll be turning 28 on June 17th. So
all of the birthday cake puffs, and puffs are cool because if you don't really want a protein bar, no one, all that work chewing, you go with a puff, which is just marshmallows covered in 100% real chocolate. And the good thing is about the birthday cake puff, it's only 150 calories, but you're still getting 16 grams of protein. And you really, it's kind of weird. You think marshmallows, that's not, how's that going to work? But there's still protein in it and still tastes good, still covered in chocolate. And if you don't want birthday cake, there's other flavors like cinnamon churro, banana cream pie, pro cream pie podcast here. Those ones are really good. But if you do want the original Built Bars, you can always do that. Get your chocolate, get your double chocolate, get your mint, get your peanut butter. They also are only around 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, around 9 grams of sugar. So you don't have to worry about that. So go to built.com. Try to get the birthday cake puffs. It's probably only a limited time. Built Bar loves to do that. Just a little limited time action. See what's going on. So go to built.com. Get the birthday cake puffs. Get your whatever your flavor it is. Use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. On the flip side, Jacob Migna side.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. People, It's fine. He signed.
I mean, if it was anything more than the vet minimum, it would have been a terrible deal.
Yeah, it's fine. He's a perfectly cromulent bottom pair defenseman, and
but he's not.
He's okay. He's not Milosh. Like between him and Milosh, I'd prefer Megna. But like Megna's again, he's yes, but again, it's the same thing where it's like he's 29 right now. He's not going to get any better. But like, if you want to try to bury it, I know it's a one way deal, but like you could probably bury him in the AHL. Nobody's going to try to claim him type of thing. So like, it's fine. He's fine. And then if it gives you a little insurance in case Knyazhov isn't ready for the start of next season, and then your Knyazhovs and your Hatakas aren't ready to take over. And if you do buy out Vlasic, there's your third part. Yeah, who cares? God. It's fine. It's fine.
I just like say they buy out Vlasic, Ferraro, Šimek, Megna.
I don't think Šimek's going to be here, to be honest. I don't know if you saw his because he's back in the Czech Republic for Worlds or whatever, right? And he's Shane had an article about like where like in a local paper where he was said the Sharks lied to him and he felt like he was treated unfairly by the Sharks. So I actually don't think Šimek's gonna be back. I think the Sharks will trade him even if it's a salary dump situation, because I don't know if that situation that relationship may be at this point beyond repair if he feels like he's being mistreated by the Sharks. So yeah.
So that should be fine. Your left side is Ferraro, Megna, and
Milosh.
The worst left side defense in the league. Not quite possibly. It will be. Ferraro's not a top pair guy. Megna's not a second pair guy. Milosh isn't a third pair guy. Cool. It just in a season that might not be the best. I just don't want to see a 29-year-old turning 30 Jacob Megna block a Hataka or a Knyazhov or anybody from getting playing time. And it's just they signed
come
him for
on
a
down, two, baby.
But I just don't understand why it needed to be a 2-year deal. Now it's you're fine. Stuck with him.
Again, it's fine. It's
is it though? Because like in the salary cap world where you need space and you need money, I understand that you're gonna need bodies, but like I'd rather that go to a young guy who's gonna make the same mistakes.
But all the I mean, because all the other young guys are signed. So, like, you have, like, potential left-side defenseman, Artemi Knyazhov. Like, he's signed through. He's not an RFA till 24, 25. Like, you know, Čižek is 24, 25. You have, it's fine. You have, it's fine. He's a warm body, and then when one of those guys are ready.
But he's a warm body that's going to play far too many minutes.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's not suited to him. Like that's the thing is that you take a step forward and you're trying to develop guys, and then you do this where you know that he's going to play. He played like 41 games. And if you read the articles, it's like a guy who is a career minor leaguer. Well, there was good reason. Like it's fine if he sits in the press box all the time and then he plays like 12 games.
I just don't know if the other like who is ready to take his place.
He's not ready. I'd rather have a young guy make mistakes than a guy who's not going to be here possibly at any moment. I don't know. It's the vet minimum. So like, I guess
that's why I don't care. It's fine.
But like at the same time, if you care about the Sharks winning sooner rather than later, it's blocking people from getting playtime. I mean, like maybe Vlasic and Šimek are both gone and they have to play him because they have literally nobody else. But at the same time, I'd rather let young guys make mistakes. Young guys and figure out what they are and make mistakes than an older guy who we know what he is and watch him make mistakes, because that's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this story in Bob Bugner. It is, anytime a young guy makes a mistake anyway. So doesn't matter.
I really don't understand how these articles are saying, like, Joe Willett thinks he was good for young guys and stuff like that. I was very confused.
Yeah.
A little confused. You can just point to Jacob Megna. This is the perfect example of, is he good for young guys? Because he played a 29-year-old career minor leaguer 41 games. It's tough. It's tough beat.
It is tough, yeah. Again, he's not I'm more just whatever about it. So he's a dude who can play for you for a little bit. His numbers were okay. Like, he was 45th percentile in offense and 46th percentile in defense. So it's whatever. I'm not like, it doesn't really move the needle for me. So who cares? he's keeping the seat warm for Kanijah or Kanijah or somebody or Taka. So yeah.
You're just kicking the can down the road when you're your development for these guys. It's frustrating.
I think though the way the Sharks are approaching the season, I think they're actually kind of putting a lot of chips in the CUDA right now, where they'd rather have like Hataka and Kanijev.
But then don't say the Sharks are going to be competitive.
You're talking out both sides of your mouth, but I still think
no, I'm not.
No, you can't say the Sharks. Not you. The Sharks are talking out
both sides of your mouth. I was like me.
Because it's like they've got. They're opening the new CUDA building. Like they have all these young guys. They've got some new initiative, you know, like where they're going to have some of their CUDA games on local TV. They just got the 2024 AHL All-Star game. Like I think they're really trying to kind of build the CUDA brand up right now. Mm-hmm. And it's a good opportunity to do so with that. So I wouldn't mind.
Oh, totally. But then the Sharks are going to be competitive when you put good players on the CUDA. Yeah.
So anyway, this is just opening the door for Nick Cicek to win our hearts out of training camp. And yes. But before
4 years in a row,
yes, we got to make it 4 for 4. Let's take a quick break and talk to you guys about Bet Online. When Gambler strikes, there's only one place to go. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds and news and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next year's NFL futures. Bet Online is your continuous source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
The draft starts at 11. The Sharks did not move from their position. They will be drafting 11th in the upcoming draft. The only team that moved was New Jersey. They went up to 2 from 5, 6, something like that. Montreal won the draft. Top 3 picks will be Montreal, New Jersey, and Arizona. Obviously, we're going to have a lot more draft profiles coming up over the next couple months, or month, I should say, especially honing in on guys that are going to be around the 11th pick. So your Minchikovs and your Lamberts and your Nazars, those type of guys that are going to be in that middle. We'll sneak a Slavkovsky in there, just in case he falls. A lot of defense probably coming up. Nemec, Yiracek. Yes. So we'll get those to you, but... Yeah, San Jose's picking 11. I don't know. It feels like they're picking too high for how good they are or how bad they are. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, they're too far back for how bad they were. Yeah. So you could think average goaltending for that. But yeah, I mean, you wonder with this year, because it seems like the Devils were really interested in trading their pick before they got to the second pick. So you wonder if they're still going to be interested in that. Or if a team like Ottawa, who might be looking to try to like feel like they have a core, they might be trying to add, you know, like a veteran guy. So maybe trading their 7th pick for a kind of a more veteran guy out of their core. These kind of teams like those where it feels like they have their core and they might be trying to add like that next piece who's going to be able to help right now instead of later down the road. But yeah, I'm intrigued with the Sharks. I think they'll be in position to get a good player still, especially because Ottawa is picking ahead of them. If they do pick, you know, somebody's going to be able to slide. I feel like the Sharks are still, they're going to be at the tail end of like the good players, but I still feel like they're going to be able to get a good player there. So
this draft is a little tricky though, because it's not that good. So but like landmines abound is the thing here. Last year, Columbus picked Cole Sillinger 11th, and then going backwards, so that was 2021, 2020. Yaroslav Askarov went to Nashville, which is pretty cool. Yep. Victor Schuderstrom to Arizona. He's got a lot of promise. Oliver Wahlstrom. Gabe Vilardi, who plays on the Kings, who's had an auspicious start to his career, but he broke his back. Logan Brown, terrible choice by Ottawa.
What?
surprising. Lawson Krause, not the best. Kevin Fiala, amazing pick in 2014. Mm-hmm. Sam Murray has only ended up playing 29 games in the ensuing 9 years, which is kind of rough. Phil Forsberg, great pick. Duncan Siemens, awful. Jack Campbell has now come into his own. Ryan Ellis, great. Kyle Beach, that's tough. Brandon Sutter, whatever. Jonathan Bernier, Anje Kopitar in 2005. Jeff Carter, 2003. Jerome McGinley, 1995. And the last time San Jose picked at 11, it was 1994 when they picked my first love, Jeff Friesen. Also, weird little symmetry. Mike Sillinger went 11th in 1989. Cole's dad.
That's fun. Let's do a couple rounds of the old FC hockey and see who might be available for the Sharks at 11. So, kind of a.
Let's see here. FC hockey draft.
Yeah. Thing. Sorry, I'm running. I can run it right now. One round.
Start draft.
So, if you're watching on YouTube.
Okay. So, Shane Wright's number 100%.
Yep. Slafkovský number 2 to the Devils.
Do you think they're not going to go.
Let me pause.
Hold on. Oh, are they just doing this? Is it just doing this? Oh, okay, yep. I see. I thought we were doing it.
So number one, right. Slafkovský number 2 to the Devils. Matt Savoy number 3 to the Coyotes. Logan Cooley number 4 to the Kraken. Simon Nemec to the Flyers. Yurov to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Frank Nazar to the Ottawa Sens. That's too good of a pick for them. David Yurick to the Red Wings. Brad Lambert goes number 9 to the Sabres, and Kemmel goes 10 to the Ducks. So that leaves Krejcinski, McGrody, Gothard, Geeky, Gleb, and Lekkomäki at kind of next available right now.
Cutter Gauthier, I want nothing to do with. So Kevin Korchinski's a D, right?
Yes.
Krejcinski's a D. Rutger McGrory is a C. Cutter Gauthier is a winger. Connor Geeky is a C. Gleb's obviously left wing. Lekkomäki is probably going to be the choice, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Steph is making an appearance in the background. So
nice.
Yes. Let's run it again. See who else is a.
Yeah. So I think of that. I think you got to.
I would go with Krejcinski right there. Like he's pretty good. So.
Yeah, but Lekkomäki add another forward.
Lekkomäki though. Eklund.
Excellent spot. This is the problem with like drafting 11 here, is that like all of these guys have issues. It's not that deep. Do it again. See what happens.
All right. Let's see. All right.
I'll read the names off to so you give your break, your Legoland break. Okay. So, Wright 1, Cooley 2, which would be Cooley, Hishi, or Hughes. Nemec 3, Slafkovský 4. Savoy 5, Yurov 6, Kemmel 7. Wow, that's an awesome Senators pick because he's not that good. Nazar 8, Korchinski 9, Lambert 10, which would leave Yiracek, McGrory, Gauthier, Geeky, Cherkasov, Lekkomäki. So unless one of those, unless a Nazar, a Yurov, a Kemmel, a Slafkovský, a Lambert falls out of that top 10, they're really going to be choosing between probably going to be your McGrory's, your Connor Geekies, your Cutter Gauthier's, your Glebs, your Lekkomäki's, Pavel Minchikov, I think, is there, Denton Matichuk, that big giant Austrian man, Marco Kasper's there, Philip Massar is there, Noah Oslin. But like now we're getting into guys that probably shouldn't be drafted this high. And I think San Jose is probably going to hope for a Slafkovský, Lambert, Nemec, like one of those guys that's in that 5 range to fall down, because we know Wright's going 1, and then Cooley is probably going to go 2. You can speed it up. So like Nemec went 2, fair. Slafkovský went 3. Look at me looking like an idiot. Cooley went 4. Cooley's not falling farther than that. Savoy 5. I think Savoy might fall. Yurov 6. I don't want anything to do with Yurov anyway. Lambert 7. So like you can see kind of like the choices. Nazar 8. Korchinski 9. Yiracek 10, which means that Joachim Kemmel's the guy that slips down. It's going to be that. And I don't know. San Jose might, like, I think Jonathan Lekkomäki is probably going to keep rising up because he's such a sniper. Yep. So I wouldn't be surprised if he is the choice. And he's also from Bugarden, I believe.
Yeah, they've gotten a chance to watch him playing with Glenn, and you already know that those two have chemistry together. So,
yeah. So It's going to be interesting. We're going to keep profiling as we get more information. Now that the draft order is set, it's a little bit easier for scouts and mock drafts, things of that nature, because now we know, like, New Jersey at two, for people at the top of the draft, they have Hughes and Heishier. So are they going to go center and go with, like, Cooley and have a Hughes, Heishier, Cooley type middle for the next, like, 8 years? Or do they go with a winger to add, like, Alexander Holtz, Dawson Mercer? Do they grab, like, a Slafkovský, a bigger guy? Or do they go D? Because I don't really think Kevin Ball is their top D. So
no, they have one of the Hughes brothers.
Oh, they have Luke Hughes as well. Okay, yeah. So they have Luke Hughes, but then after that, Kevin Ball maybe. So honestly, I think New Jersey.
I think they're a big wild card because I could see them trading out if they could try to get, you know, whoever's disgruntled and wants out of their situation, and because it feels like their core is about set, you know, they do need some goaltending, but like they do have a lot of really good players, and you know, I know at some point, you know, I think, but who knows with them? It's gonna be fun. We have plenty. Of time.
Arizona is always a wild card. You're always gonna see a surprise. Ottawa's gonna do something insane. There was a funny meme by Sens Buzz, and it was like a picture of Pio Darien smiling on a laptop, and it said, "When you see that your top prospect is ranked 156, it was really good. Gonna be an interesting draft. 11 is kind of that creamy middle danger zone. Then I don't think we really
predicted at the beginning before the whole season started. Yep.
Yeah, not exactly. If they could have pushed into like that 7-8 range. You can grab a Lambert, something like that. So now they're gonna have to hope. So we'll see.
Damn you, James Reimer.
Why couldn't the Ducks not shit their pants?
James Reimer. Why are we so good?
Last time we rely on the Ducks for anything.
I know. Ducks. Let's get here.
If you'd like to talk to us on the internet, Locked On Sharks on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LockedOnSharks@gmail.com. If you want to email us with your words. If you would like to watch us, we'd like to be watched. You can do that at Locked On Sharks on YouTube.
See my sunburn right now.
Yeah, yes. JD is quite rouge. He's got a nice pinchy glow to him.
Pinchy.
Oh, it smells so good. Oh my god, pinchy. Oh, he tastes so good.
Like, oh god.
So good.
He's a free range lobster now.
in the kiddie pool.
I think when he throws him and they're like,
he's got to bounce up the salt.
Yeah. Their boat just kind of float.
Amazon, Apple, Spotify, Locked On Sharks. If you'd like to follow JD or ask him about Legoland and how much sprinkles his children consumed in 3 days, you can do that at my fry hole.
Kyle, who's
I didn't go to Legoland.
Asking questions about Legoland can be found at Kyle Demetrius. Thank you guys for making us your first San Jose Sharks listen. You can go check out any of the other amazing podcasts like the Locked On NHL podcast, especially with the playoffs going on and you don't want to hear us talk about the playoffs for some reason. Couple jabronis here talking about the playoffs. Or go check out any other amazing podcasts on the Locked On Network, such as
Locked On Athletics.
Bye, friends.
Look how much bread I got from Costco. This was $7 Canadian dollars. Look at that.